On the 8th of January, 2002, a security guard named Muhammad Yaqub was engaged in his routine patrols within the Orchard Tower complex located in Singapore. As part of his duties, he was tasked to ensure that all vehicles within the car park adhered to parking regulations and duly paid their parking fees. Hence, each morning, he diligently traversed through the car park, systematically examining every floor. He found himself on the 7th floor of the car park, and out of the corner of his eye, he spotted a silver car in the distance. Muhammad came to an abrupt stop, his heart racing, as a concerning thought crossed his mind.
That car's been there for the past few days. I hope the owner isn't sleeping here.
Muhammad wanted to get a closer look, so he started walking towards the silver car when a peculiar smell hit his nose. Muhammad wouldn't know it, but today would probably be one of his most unforgettable days on the job. It's tough to describe the smell of a dead body to people who've never experienced it. Certain individuals draw a comparison between the smell of a dead body and the scent of decaying meat, accompanied by undertones of spoiled fruit. Upon a person's demise, the body promptly begins the decomposition process, marking the start of the unmistakable smell associated with death. This distinct odor comes from a medley of gases produced by microorganisms throughout the different stages of decomposition. And it all begins with the breakdown of organic matter in the body, which releases a cocktail of noxious gases like ammonia, sulfur compounds, and fatty acids. Unfortunately for Muhammad, it was this combination of substances that contributed to the unmistakably unpleasant nature of the smell. Moving closer to the vehicle, Muhammad noticed that the odor was getting stronger and stronger. Every instinct within him strongly signaled that the source of the smell emanated directly from the silver car. Convinced that something might be amiss, Muhammad called the police. Unaware at that moment, his revelation would set in motion a chilling saga destined to captivate the nation. As the investigation unfolded, it revealed a dark tale of deception, murder, and a carefully orchestrated cover-up. Muhammad's discovery would lead to the unfolding of one of Singapore's most notorious murder cases. One that was shrouded in mystery and would only be solved over the next 3 years. You're listening to Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast, brought to you by MediaCorp and produced by 1UP Media. This episode may contain sensitive details and graphic imagery. Listener discretion is advised. In response to Muhammad's police report, a team of officers swiftly made their way to the Orchard Tower's car park, the ominous location where the silver Daewoo chairman was parked. Upon their arrival, the officers too were greeted by the unmistakable odor of rotting flesh. Undeterred, the police decisively forced open the car, a moment that would lead to a harrowing discovery, sending shockwaves through the investigation. Inside the vehicle, the officers were confronted with a gruesome scene. Two decomposing corpses, each revealing a macabre tale of horror. The first body, identified as that of a 46-year-old Singaporean male named Koo Nai Guan, lay within a wooden picnic basket placed at the rear seat of the car. The condition of Koo's remains hinted at a grim fate. His body within the basket bore signs of potential trauma, its form distorted and disrupted. In the trunk of the vehicle, another grim revelation awaited the investigators. A second body, this time carefully wrapped in blankets, with the head wrapped tightly in plastic bags and secured with neckties. The blood spots on the translucent surface of the bag was an ominous reminder of the violent nature of the crime. This second body was confirmed to be that of a woman, identified as Suzy Lan Yaming, also known by the alias Suzy Lan. Lan was a 29-year-old Chinese immigrant. She first arrived in Singapore in October 2001 with the aim of becoming a teacher. Interestingly, The unfolding narrative revealed an intriguing dimension to the relationship between Lan and Ku. Lan was positively identified to be in a romantic relationship with Ku at the time, although it did come to light that she was, in fact, married with 2 8-year-old twin sons right before her death. On the other hand, Ku himself was a father of three, but had become estranged from his wife. However, the big question loomed. What had brought both of them into the car? It was obvious that the likelihood of this being a suicide was low, given the conditions in which they were discovered, which definitely pointed toward the involvement of others. But who? Both Ku and Lan met their tragic ends through different means, as confirmed by Dr. Paul Chui, the forensic pathologist who examined their remains. Ku's cause of death was determined to be strangulation, while Lan succumbed to suffocation. In the case of Ku, his family was able to identify him by his distinctive Thai tattoos, but not much is known about his estranged wife's reaction to his death. On the other end of this tragic tale, Lan's body was eventually reclaimed by her 32-year-old Chinese husband, Lin Jiasong, who worked in a telecommunications firm. However, this somber reunion only occurred 10 months after her untimely death, and her husband Lin was quoted saying that he was shocked to find her in Singapore, hinting at a possible period of estrangement between the couple. According to Lin, prior to his wife's tragic murder, he regularly received weekly calls from Lan during her stay in Singapore. The last time he had ever heard a voice was on 29th December 2001, merely days before she was discovered dead. No one expected that it would take a full 10 months before Lan's identity could be definitively established through the examination of her belongings and the DNA samples provided by Lin. Lin revealed that Lan had previously promised him that she would return to her hometown in Fujian, China, for the upcoming Chinese New Year. However, she never fulfilled that promise. Over the next 3 months, amidst the unfolding mystery of the female victim in the Orchard Towers murder case, Lin grappled with the challenge of attempting to re-establish contact with Lan. The jolting revelation only came when Lin received notification about the potential identification of his wife as the female deceased victim discovered at Orchard Towers. When police searched through their belongings and conducted background checks, they found the last known address of both Ku and Lan, which was an apartment situated in Balmoral Park. The ownership of the apartment in Balmoral Park rested in the hands of a 64-year-old individual named Michael McCrea. Born in Britain in 1958, Michael McCrea wasn't the most academically accomplished. He did not complete secondary school and dropped out without an O-level exam certificate. Despite this, McCrea exhibited a remarkable business acumen that earned him public recognition in the media. In the year 1980, his prowess in the business realm earned him the title of Nottingham's Million Pound Man, a distinction bestowed upon him after successfully generating a profit of 1.2 million British pounds in just 9 months while working for a financial services firm. In the 1990s, McCrea ventured to Southeast Asia, where he served as a financial advisor in Singapore. It was here that he crossed paths with his future Australian wife, Brunetta Stocco, eventually leading to their marriage. The couple went on to have 4 children, one of whom was a son named Callum, who was 2 years old in 2003. It is noted that McCrea achieved such remarkable success that he authored a book titled Expat Survival Kit, specifically crafted to offer financial guidance to his expatriate clients in Singapore. Nevertheless, the trajectory of his professional journey took a tumultuous turn when allegations of financial misconduct surfaced, leading to reports of McCrea violating financial regulations. This breach of professional conduct resulted in hefty fines during his tenure in Singapore. At the time, McCrea was reported to have lived in an apartment within the Pinewood Gardens condominium at Balmoral Park. According to accounts, he was known to regularly throw big parties at his home, a practice that triggered numerous grievances and annoyance from his neighbors. Eventually, the noise from these gatherings, combined with his reported financial improprieties, contributed to an environment of discontent within the community. To further complicate matters, McCrea's personal life took a toll, as his wife, disapproving of his chosen lifestyle, eventually relocated to Australia, leaving him behind. Rather than making efforts to reconnect with his family, McCrea persisted in prioritizing his individual interests and picked up amateur boxing. This shift in focus could be interpreted as an attempt to cope with the challenges he was facing, or a genuine reflection of his callous attitude. In June 2001, McCrea met a waitress named Audrey Ong at a local pub and began a romantic involvement with her. As time passed, their relationship intensified to the extent that McCrea extended an invitation for Ong to share his residence in Balmoral Park, an offer she willingly accepted. However, Ong would not only be cohabiting with McCrea, but also with two additional individuals, 41-year-old Koo Nai Guan and his girlfriend, Susie Lan Yaming. In 1998, Michael McCrea first crossed paths with Koo Nai Guan, a taxi driver at the time. Koo must have left a lasting impression on Michael because their connection swiftly transformed into a close friendship. Months later, McCrea took it a step further by hiring Koo as his personal driver. It was McCrea who was impressed by the amiable and articulate nature of Koo. His spirit and character endeared him to everyone who met him. Koo Nai Guan didn't choose to be a taxi driver by default. He had navigated the ups and downs of entrepreneurship prior to meeting Michael. He once ran an electronics business, which unfortunately faced bankruptcy in 1989. Subsequent to this setback, he briefly participated in his brother's pet food venture and attempted, albeit unsuccessfully, to launch his own business in 1992. Despite the hurdles in his professional path, Koo did receive acclaim and awards in 1997 for his exceptional service as a taxi driver. Nevertheless, his life was characterized by a reputation for engaging in extramarital affairs, frequently spending nights with foreign women and prostitutes. This facet of his personal conduct, however, did not diminish his close bond with McCrea, who fondly addressed him as Akwan and rewarded him generously for his committed services. If anything, it may have just brought them closer together. It was just after midnight on January 2, 2002. McCrea, Ong, Lan and Koo had gathered at the apartment in Balmoral Park to toast the New Year's Day festivities. As the night progressed and the drinks continued to flow, a heavily intoxicated Koo Nai Guan rose from his seat with the intention of addressing Audrey Ong, who was seated on the sofa. Michael McCrea's eyes were watching him. 2 days afterward, the lifeless bodies of Koo Nai Guan and his girlfriend, Susie Lan, would be discovered in the Silver Daewoo parked at Orchard Towers. That's coming up in the next episode. Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast, is brought to you by MediaCorp and 1UP Media. This episode was produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, narrated by Jason, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media. Special thanks to executive producer Danny Cordy from MediaCorp. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.